hopes was to get me away from the Inquisitors. The Archbishop studied her face for a few moments.
We're learning about him. He cares about you enough to snatch you away from our interrogation team.
But not enough to love me, Angelique added silently. He thinks about me the way I would think about a chimpanzee in a laboratory.
And although he can transport himself wherever he chooses, the Archbishop continued, he apparently cannot take anyone along with him. He had to walk you out of the hospital, past all our security people, I admit, but he didn't just whisk you into thin air, did he?
No, Your Eminence, he did not.
What else have you learned about him? The Archbishop asked, leaning slightly toward her.
Angelique thought swiftly, then answered, although he claims that he wants to save the human race, I believe he's a great danger to us.
As do I, Overmeyer agreed.
If he reveals himself to the general public, they will fall to their knees at the sight of his powers and worship him as a god, she said.
The Antichrist.
She nodded. Whether he wishes it or not, he will shatter everything that you have toiled all your life to achieve. The people will adore him as their new savior.
The Archbishop's face darkened. Our worst fears come true.
Angelique could read the expression on his face almost as if she could hear his thoughts. Stoner will destroy us, destroy me, the Archbishop was saying to himself. All the years I've labored to reach the pinnacle of power, all the toil and care I've lavished on my flock, teaching them the way to salvation, leading them on the path of righteousness, controlling them so that they don't fall into evil ways. This one man, this star voyager, he could destroy it all.
Therefore, she went on, we must get rid of him somehow.
Somehow? How?
Angelique saw the anxiety in his eyes, his need to find a way to deal with this terrifying threat. And more. She saw the man who casually turned her over to torturers, who was willing to do whatever is necessary, anything, in order to keep his power, to maintain his absolute grip on the new morality's apparatus, his control over the people.
Let me deal with him, Your Eminence, she said, hiding her anger,
her growing disgust with the man.
Give me a free hand to deal with him as your personal representative.
And what will you do?
Angelique had no idea, but she saw that she could use the threat of the Star Voyager to bend Overmeyer to her will.
He fears our nuclear weapons, she blurted impulsively. I will use them to destroy him.
Even as she spoke the words, she realized that this was indeed the way to destroy Stoner. Chapter 12.
Could you get Stoner to come here?
Holly asked Raul Tavallera. It was nearly sunset in Goddard. The long windows that admitted sunshine into the massive habitat were slowly closing. Holly and Tavallera were walking from her office to a restaurant on the other side of the village, at the edge of the lake.
Come here? He asked.
I don't know.
He does pretty much what he wants to.
He could be awful helpful to us, she said. Now that we've voted out the ZPG regulation, women are having babies. Sooner or later, we'll need to expand, build another habitat.
And go out and get more resources to support them, Tavallera added.
Water, she agreed. Ores to use for building materials.
You want Stoner to help, he said.
Surely do, if he would.
Tavallera stooped down to pick up a pebble from the edge of the bricked walkway.
But you could build a new habitat on your own, without his help.
Be a damn sight easier with him than without him.
Yeah, I guess.
He tossed the pebble into the air, caught it again in his palm.
You got any idea where this little stone came from, originally?
Looking puzzled, Holly answered,
an asteroid, probably. That's where most of our construction materials come from.
He nodded. Now we're a long way from the belt. A long trip to get resources.
That's why Stoner'd be so helpful, she said.
His long, normally morose expression grew even gloomier than usual. But don't you think it'd be better if you could build new habitats on your own without his help? I mean, you shouldn't have to depend on Stoner and his magic tricks. With night coming on swiftly, she had to look hard to see his eyes.
What's the matter, Raoul? Don't you want to let Stoner help us? I don't think it's a good idea to depend on him, that's all. You ought to be able to do it for yourself.
You don't want to ask him, is that it?
He shook his head. No, that's not it.
Then what?
I don't think he'd help you.
Why not?
Tavalera didn't quite know how to phrase it. For several paces along the winding pathway, he was silent, thinking, arranging his words.
So?
Holly prompted. I've seen Stoner close up, seen him at work.
You think he won't want to help us?
Feeling miserable about dashing her hopes, he said, I think he won't want you to become dependent on him. I think he figures it's better if you work things out for yourselves. Holly looked away from him. Tavalera walked along with her, wishing he hadn't told her what he truly felt, knowing he had to tell her something more, something worse.
That's how you see it, huh?
Holly murmured. Yeah. Up ahead, through the shrubbery that lined the winding path, he could see the lights of the restaurant turning on. It was fully dark now. Tiny fluorescent patches glowed every few meters along the edge of the walkway. Tavalera looked overhead and saw the lights of other villages winking on, other pathways curving between them. He remembered that some wags had started to name constellations from the lights, just as people on Earth millennia ago had created pictures in the sky out of the formations of stars. There's the bullseye, he said, pointing to a set of nested rings that marked a residential complex. Holly made a huffing sound.
Do you know that Mal Eberly is putting up an astrology program on his site? Based on the lights?
Sounds like something he'd do, Tavalera said. The restaurant was only a few meters away. He could see the squat little robots lined up to one side of the outdoor tables, waiting for customers to show up.
Raoul,
Holly said in a tone that sounded utterly serious to him. Yeah?
You kept saying, you've got to do without Stoner instead of we've got to.
Did I?
Yep. Don't you think you're part of us, part of me?
He couldn't see her face in the shadows cast by the tall shrubs, but he heard the apprehension in her voice. She knows, he understood. She's figured it out. I've got to go back, he said, so low that he could hardly hear it himself. She stopped walking.
Back? Earthside?
He nodded, then realized that she couldn't see it in the shadows. To Earth, he admitted. Holly said nothing for several heartbeats, then...
Your mother.
It was an excuse he could use, but Tavalera couldn't help but be honest with her. Not just that, Holly. There's something going on, something big.
Stoner.
Something's going to happen, I just know it. I want to be there. I want to help him if I can.
You want to leave me?
Her voice was dead, hollow. I've got to, Tavalera said. I've just got to. Book 5. Raoul Tavalera. You who are without sorrow for the suffering of others, you do not deserve to be called human. Garden of Roses by Saadi, 13th century Iranian poet. Chapter 1. Stoner felt Raoul's call rather than heard it. Like a sudden change in his pulse rate, like an abrupt shortage of breath that leaves you gasping, Stoner felt Tavalera's need for him viscerally, even though he was disembodied when the call reached him. Through Tavalera's mind, he saw that the young man believed he was sitting with a woman at a small table in an outdoor restaurant in the Habitat Goddard. Holly Lane, Stoner knew, Goddard's chief administrator, the woman Tavalera loved. He felt morose. She looked miserable. Stoner's wife told him,
Imagine how I'd feel if you said you wanted to leave me.
As if I could, he replied. They both smiled ethereally, linked to each other by bonds that transcended physical presence. The restaurant was called Le Bleu Provence, founded by a Parisian who had been exiled for his mildly heretical and decidedly treasonous insistence that the current faith-based government of France had made a mockery of the Declaration of the Rights of Man.
We've been through this before, Holly was saying,
toying idly with the stem of her aperitif glass. Yeah, said Tavalera. His beer was going flat.
You said you'd go back Earthside for a visit and then come back here.
I know,